Greetings, fellow travelers. We all know why we're here, do we not? To share in the magical mystery of music, to commune over the sublime power of songs to give us life over the course of a lifetime. As the songwriter wrote, sing a song, make it simple to last your whole life long. And that's what the best songs do, isn't it? They burrow into our psyches and stay there forever, like beautiful breadcrumbs that lead us out of and often back into the dense, dark forests of our own private Idahos. Who can say why this is? Why songs make for such stalwart signposts along the yellow brick road of our inner lives? They just do. They should have sent a poet. Oh well, this is who they sent. I'm Julian Fleischer, and this is the Naked American Songbook. My guest today is a dashing gentleman whose voice, the speaking kind, although he is a very good singer, will be familiar to many of you. Ari Shapiro is a host of NPR's All Things Considered, the national nightly flagship news magazine of our public airwaves. It's a job he took as just the latest stop along his inarguably meteoric rise through the ranks of national public radio. His life is fairly suffused with song as both a sharer and a singer, and he's wonderfully Catholic in his musical tastes, small c. He also preaches the gospel of perspective, a kind of rosy Instagram filter for life that makes even the toughest of trials seem less trying by putting them into, well, perspective. You may also note, as I did while talking to this notably poised, charming, and charmed young man, that perspective is mostly a bonus when things seem almost always to go your way. But then again, you may also learn, as I did, that with enough practice, perspective is itself a kind of practice. As you'll hear Ari tell me, perspective helps to ease our way on down that road that often runs hard by troubled waters. But it can be made less maddening by sticking to the sunny side of the street. And if that seems a tad tortured, well, perhaps the good goddess of greatness herself, Ella Fitzgerald, whose voice alone is the sound of sunlight, can explain it more simply. Now just kick your shoes off, kids. This is the Naked American Songbook.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Pitter-pat, and that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on a sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Ella Fitzgerald, the Count Basie Band, from their 1963 recording of On the Sunny Side of the Street. I play that in honor of my guest today, the co-host of National Public Radio's nightly news magazine, All Things Considered, the very sunny Ari Shapiro. This latest gig at NPR, though, is like just the latest in a long line of peaks that you have reached, Ari. You've moved around a lot.
Yeah, I've been at NPR for 15 years. I started as an intern. Worked on Morning Edition as an editorial assistant. I was a temp. I did some freelance reporting. I went to Atlanta. I went to Miami. I was in Boston at WBUR for a few months. I covered the Justice Department. I covered the White House each for about 5 years. I was in London for a couple years as a foreign correspondent. And 1 year ago, I moved back to D.C. to host All Things Considered.
Was that something you asked to do, or did they reassign you kind of autocratically?
What I said when the opportunity arose was, there are very few jobs I could imagine being willing to leave this London Post for. There's only one job in the world that I would be excited to leave this London Post for, and hosting All Things Considered is it.
Wow.
And you got it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
What's ever happened to you that was difficult?
Everything.
Liar.
I mean, where do you want to begin?
I don't know.
No, the truth is, I mean, listen, when I graduated from Yale with an English major, I had no idea what I wanted to do.
And
I
an English major too.
Another English major. All right, perfect. I applied for 100.
It's like looking in a mirror.
I was finishing college and applied for 100 different things, ranging from graduate school to literally working at Club Med. One of the things I applied for was an NPR internship. I got rejected for literally all of them, including the NPR internship. Then I found out that—
Are you about to tell me that getting rejected for a Club Med internship is a difficult thing for you?
I was a Yale grad and I couldn't get hired at Club Med.
But you were a Yale grad.
I got rejected from everything. And then I found out that Nina Totenberg, the Supreme Court correspondent, hires her own interns independent of the NPR internship program. So I applied again just to her and she gave me an internship.
Oh.
And so, you know, the thing
sounds
is when you look at successful
terrible.
People, all you see is the string of successes, but you don't see the string of failures that were repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated that led up to the success.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what I try to say when I speak to students is that you shouldn't get the idea just because somebody has been successful that they haven't experienced failure, because most successful people have found success just through relentless repetition of failure until failure finally crumbles under the weight of your determined right. attempts, you know?
Well, then I'm going to be super successful because the string of failures really just goes on as far as the eye can see. So let's get back to the subject at hand, which is songs.
Yeah.
You're a singer. You grew up singing.
Yeah.
What did you bring for us to listen to today?
Well, my husband and I met when we were in college. We met as freshmen at Yale.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been together 18, almost 19 years now.
Holy cow.
And in his freshman dorm room, he had a huge poster of Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, my God.
And
I love him.
He is the kind of person who, for as long as I have known him, his tastes in music have not changed. And they have been exactly in your wheelhouse. They have been the Great American Songbook. He should be sitting in front of this microphone. And so, obviously, I had heard Irving Berlin, Frank Sinatra, Judy Garland, etc. But it was really only when I met Mike that I was sort of immersed in this world. And Sammy Davis Jr. was sort of right on the other side of that door.
God, I love your husband.
Yeah, I do too. So when I was talking to Mike about this, he was like, oh, you have to pick this song or that deep cut or this obscure number. And I was like, that's who Sammy Davis Jr. is to you. To me, he's that old Black Magic. He's the hits. You know, I'm not an encyclopedic consumer of the Great American Songbook. I would say I'm an appreciative bystander and occasional participant.
Then why are you on the show?
You'll have to answer that question, my friend.
Bring me Mike.
Listen, I heard the Rachel Dratch interview. I'm hardly... She had to Google the phrase, so Ooh. At least I
Wow,
I,
someone I, has done his homework. Okay, that having been... That's fine, though. Actually, we're trying to make sure that everybody out there who digs it in some way feels they have a safe space to dig it.
And I would say in the list that I gave you, this is probably the most traditional, squarely in the wheelhouse of, oh yeah, everyone would recognize that as a Great American Songbook. I might wander a little farther afield after this.
Let's listen to Sammy Davis Jr., That Old Black Magic.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. I got those icy, icy fingers up and down my spine. The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. That same old tingle I feel inside. And then that elevator starts its ride. And down I go. All around I go. Like a leaf that's caught in a tide. Well, I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name, and I'm a flame, a flame.
Davis Jr., That Old Black Magic, brought to us by my guest today, Ari Shapiro. You were just saying, that seriousness is overrated or humor is underrated?
Silliness is underrated.
That's true. Yeah. I truly believe, now this obviously, this recording predates both of us. He's irrepressible. You know, that's the word.
Yeah, and there are probably 25 different modes over the course of this one song. I'm a dirty robber.
That's true. But see, that's it. It's that kind of thing that it invites mockery. If you're not in the spirit of it, if you're not in there with it.
You know what? If you're going to be a short black Jew with a lazy eye, you're going to invite mockery no matter what you do. At least he owns it. At least he grabs it and, you know, doesn't apologize for it.
I completely agree.
You know, silliness is a value that is underrated in music.
Right. I agree. A sense of humor.
Yeah.
But I actually think that this was kind of the hipster thing of his day. Like, some of this was actually him being cool.
Yeah. You mean this is the version of the ironic suspenders and fedora that we see among baristas and such these days? Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I mean. Yeah. A thick mustache. And, yeah.
I was going to say mustache, but then I noticed that you're sporting one and didn't want to, you know.
It's okay. I'm not a hipster. But no, I think he was, in a way, like there was this Rat Packy kind of like, this was kind of their irony moment. He wasn't being earnest here.
Oh, of course not. Of course not.
Or exclusively ironic. I mean, he was
you
both.
Know, you can listen to that song and say, ugh, he's such a dork. But clearly what he is delivering in that song is dorkiness. Like, he is grabbing the dorkiness bull by the horns and riding it through that song.
I completely agree. There's something just so joyful about it.
Yeah.
You marry that to a tune like this and a band like that, and, you know, you just want to drive the car, you know?
Yeah.
Put the top down.
Don't overthink it, you know? He's not taking himself seriously. We don't need to take it seriously. But, I mean, when I say he's not taking himself seriously, a ton of work goes into being that effortless.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's like a great ballerina. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's this years of training make it look like he's flying, but he's not.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I will say before we leave the subject of Sammy Davis Jr. that I think it was our last interview was with Zachary Quinto, sitting right where you are now. And we had a similar conversation about Sammy Davis Jr. He,
really?
Too, yeah. He brought, you know, Mr. Bojangles.
Bojangles, yeah.
Yeah. Which, as we listened to it, we both started to cry.
Yeah.
Because it's such a heartrending tune. Well, the way he did it, I mean, that's the funny thing. Like, when the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band first released that tune as, like, a, you know, a folk pop tune, it had its moment. Everybody liked it. Then Sammy Davis Jr. found it and, you know, squeezed this pathos out of it.
That is actually a really good segue to something else I put on my list. Taking a song and covering it in a way that...
Listen, when Ari Shapiro says he has a segue...
I got a segue. Well, when I first moved to Washington, D.C., I was living in this studio apartment that I shared with some woman I had met on Craigslist. I was sleeping on the pullout sofa. I had this unpaid internship. I had no money. And I had this crappy old CD alarm clock that went off every morning with the same first track from the same CD. I never changed it. So for months and months and months and months, every Monday through Friday, I woke up to the exact same song. And much like the Sammy Davis Jr. version of Mr. Bojangles, which took something that had qualities of its own and made it something just exquisitely beautiful, this track did that for me. And it's Nina Simone singing Here Comes the Sun.
Of course, I'm picturing you getting out of bed.
In my 20s.
I was going to say, in my...
This is a family program.
No, it's not.
Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun. I say, it's all right. It's all right. Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun. I say, it's all right. It's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold and lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since you've been here. Here comes the sun.
You've never listened to this track before?
I haven't.
That's Nina Simone singing Here Comes the Sun, a song that I woke up to every morning for months back when I was an unpaid intern at NPR.
That must fill you with a kind of Proustian sense of
I was just thinking that, like,
perdu.
It's possible to have a bad day after you've woken up to a song like that, but it's a little bit harder. It's a little bit harder to have a bad day after you've woken up to a song like that. I think probably the most important thing in life is perspective. And not taking bad things too seriously and not taking good things as more than they are and just sort of keeping an eye on the big picture. And that song helps me reset perspective. It's just, it's a way of saying, everything's okay. Let's do this. Another day is starting. And for some reason, the Beatles version of that song doesn't do that for me. Nina Simone doesn't.
Wow. How did it get in there in the first place?
I had this alarm clock that had to play a CD to start the day. And I thought, well, what CD? Well, I couldn't tell it to start on track 7.
Oh, I see.
What's the first track on a CD that I could tolerate waking up to? And I don't know. I didn't have the wherewithal to choose a different CD every day to wake up to. So, and once I had started waking up to that song, I just thought, yeah, that's a good sentiment to wake up to every day.
So,
you know, it doesn't jolt you awake,
right,
and it doesn't make you want to fall back asleep. You're laying there, your eyes closed, and you hear that, and you think, okay, it's going to be a good day.
I love that. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this song and make it my alarm.
Really? So,
yeah. After that speech?
I'm so glad.
After that monologue?
I mean, doesn't it say that?
I do. I do. I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I'm wondering, is he serious?
I'm like 100% serious.
That is a very beautiful sentiment. That is lovely, Ari. Don't move. Listeners, you either. We are going to stay in bed with Ari so that he can tell us what it's like to wake up every morning. Well, Ari Shapiro, in just a moment. Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. Welcome back to the Naked American Songbook. I'm in bed with NPR's very own Ari Shapiro. Just kidding. Not really.
Can I tell you something? It's not very personal, but it's a little personal.
I wish you would.
That the first words my husband and I say to each other every day, it's the same thing every day. Good morning. How are you? It's a beautiful day. And if we're in different cities or different countries, we text it to each other. And it comes from when we were in college, we were visiting his parents in San Francisco, and we had arrived on a late flight, and we were, you know, waking up for the first day, and, I rolled over in bed, and I said, what time is it? And he said, 11:30 or something. And I said, oh, my God, we have to get up. I can't believe we slept so late. And he said, no, that's not how we start the day. He said, we start the day saying, good morning, how are you? It's a beautiful day. And every day since then, we've started the day saying, good morning, how are you? It's a beautiful day.
I don't know where to go from here. I don't think I have the emotional strength to go any further into this conversation. Wow. I was earlier, you know, when you said that you guys have been together for almost 20 years, I was going to say, like, well, what's your secret? But it sounds like you just told me.
That's a secret. Yeah. And perspective.
I wanted to talk about the Nina Simone thing. I guess she's a big – you're a big fan of hers in general.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I was actually just having a conversation with the performance artist Taylor Mack about Nina Simone. And he said he had Nina Simone and Patti Smith on shuffle one day and wondered to himself, why are two of my favorite singers people who so often sing off pitch, who are not actually great singers?
Mm-hmm.
They're great storytellers. Much like Elaine Stritch, who I know is another huge favorite of yours and mine as well, there's something about the ability to tell a story through a song that really transcends how perfectly you're singing it.
Yeah. It's part of the magic of her.
Yeah.
You know, she's just that weird soul who can get away with it. Not only get away with it, but somehow make it a part of what makes her great.
Completely.
Her imperfections are the thing. You know, earlier you were talking about success being the result of a string of failures. But what that really does is suggest that there's no such thing as failure. It's just all part of how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's,
yeah.
And I know that as a person who works making music as well as talking about it, almost 100% of the time, the best things that have ever happened to me and my band musically were the result of a so-called failure.
Yeah.
We made a mistake. We ended up in a place we weren't expecting, or somebody painted himself into a corner and had to find his way back out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like that's where the beauty comes out of. But that's not true for every singer.
No. I mean, and it makes me think more broadly about artistry and adversity and creativity and madness. And it's an old debate of whether you can be a brilliant artist without being a tortured artist.
Right.
I certainly know some who are, but I also know a lot of artists who are tortured.
Right. Who's your favorite singer in the world?
Oh, my God. How am I supposed to answer that question?
Truthfully?
I know whatever name I give you, a minute later, some other name is going to pop
That's
into
fine.
My head.
That's fine. You're allowed. You can change your mind.
Well, listen, I'll tell you just
right
at the,
now,
at the moment, at this moment, the opera singer Joyce DiDonato. Not even just because of the way she sounds, but also because of the person she is. I saw her give a recital where she talked about performing in Sing Sing Prison and how the piece that she performed for us at that recital...
That wasn't a pun?
No, actually. She performed for these inmates, many of whom are serving life sentences, and she did an aria from an opera about Antony and Cleopatra, in which Cleopatra goes through these phases of emotion, rage and vengeance and weeping and sorrow. And she performed it for us at this recital, and everybody in the audience was shaken and moved and, you know, contorted by it. And she talked about how performing it at the prison, it had the exact same impact on the prisoners as it did on this rarefied crowd at the recital, with the exception that during the revenge part, the prisoners shouted, "You go, girl, get him, kill," you know. But the point being, not just that she was able to make such spectacularly gorgeous music, but that it had the same impact on people of such different backgrounds, that there really is something universal about the way music affects humans, no matter who those humans are.
You like opera?
Yeah, but I don't have a deep knowledge of it. That's actually another good segue.
Yay, more segues.
So
I think I see a theme.
I know that the Great American Songbook has a definition, but I inherently bristle against definitions.
Me too.
And I think the world of classical music is too easily divided from the world of Broadway, and the world of Broadway is too easily divided from the Great American Songbook, and popular music bleeds into all. I mean, you know, great music is great music. And so even though nobody sings in it, the next track that I picked can be classified as classical music or Broadway or... you know, it certainly references many songs that you could consider a part of the Great American Songbook. And it's by a composer who happily swam in all of those swimming pools. And it also happens to be the song I walked down the aisle to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Overture to Candide by Leonard Bernstein.
You walked down the aisle to this?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of aisle.
Wow. There are a lot of people, you know.
You'd have to skip.
Well, I mean, we weren't, the two of us weren't walking the whole time.
Right.
But, you know, it was...
the overture to Leonard Bernstein's Candide. Another tune brought to us by Ari Shapiro. Now, that one doesn't have lyrics.
No.
Which is, I think, a first for us here.
Really? I'm honored to be the first. Why not? Stretch the boundaries.
Right.
Break the rules. I just love that. It's so... Let's do this.
Yeah.
It's sort of the opposite of Here Comes the Sun, which is like, good morning. This is like, yeah, let's, here we go.
All right, listen, Ari Shapiro.
Yes.
You've brought me a lot of music. I'm going to play something for you.
I am so excited to hear what you've chosen. What are you going to play for me?
Well, I'm going to play you one of my favorite Katie Lang numbers.
Oh, you know, I almost chose a Katie Lang song. I was so close to choosing a Katie Lang song.
Well, speaking of which, she takes on Cole Porter.
Oh,
who's someone you've referenced a lot in your choices. You obviously have a Cole Porter thing.
Yeah.
And as a Yalie, that has extra resonance. My singing group, of course, was named after a Cole Porter song.
Uh-huh.
Yours was named after a cocktail.
I have no idea what it was named after, to be perfectly honest.
So,
I think it was named after Yale's decision to go co-ed. Let's say that.
Oh, okay. That's nice. That's very PC and very polite. Years ago, in the 90s, a series of albums started coming out called Red Hot and Blue, which were sort of...
I know, and they have not stopped. They're still coming out. There are benefits for AIDS research, and there are some incredible covers from those albums.
Yes. I think the first one still remains the high watermark, in my humble opinion. It had an extraordinary array, Annie Lennox and Nena Cherry and on and on, you know, doing really unlikely covers of Cole Porter. I'm not even sure how they came up with the idea, but it was a great one. And for me, by far, the winner off that first CD was this version of So In Love. Have you heard it?
No.
You've never heard this?
No.
Okay, so this is Katie Lang. And a lot of singers start with this catalog because it's challenging. And, you know, these songs are great songs and they require a lot of work. And you learn how to sing by singing these songs.
Mm-hmm.
Go off into your own, or you sing contemporary stuff, or maybe write your own. But it's always great to hear a singer as preternaturally powerful as Katie Lang sing music this good. So this is, from Red Hot and Blue, Katie Lang, Cole Porter's song.
Strange, dear, but true, dear, when I'm close to you.
That I've learned not from voice lessons but from listening to great singers is how effective running out of breath can be. In the same way that being not perfectly on pitch can convey something that being technically perfect doesn't convey, running out of breath at the end of a line can be so beautifully, desperately clinging to life and trying to reach the end. I think some of the most evocative performers I've heard at times sound like they might be about to lose control.
Yes, and Katie Lang, who we just heard sing Cole Porter's So In Love, has that remarkable breath control. She really can. She can sing anything, even those long, impossibly uninterrupted lines while swooping and diving and turning all in the course of one note. She really reminds me of Sarah Vaughan in that way, her ability to bend and her pitch is perfect. But I must stop quelling because we have a lot of important things to get through, including a little game I like to call This or That, and an exclusive Pink Martini track that you, Ari Shapiro, have snuck into our studios. All that and more in just a moment. Welcome back to the Naked American Songbook, where I am sitting nakedly with America's sweetheart, NPR co-host Ari Shapiro, about to play one of my favorite games.
Ooh, what's the game?
You know, a little this or that. You got to make some quick choices.
Okay, let's do it.
So I'm going to ask you a couple of quick either or questions, mm-hmm. and you have to make a quick choice.
Okay.
I may ask you to justify your choice. I may move on.
All right.
Are you ready? Ari Shapiro, this or that. Fitzgerald, F. Scott, or Ella?
Ella.
Why?
Because she's Ella Fitzgerald.
Right answer. Ari. Shapiro or Fleischer?
I've actually never met Fleischer. I have to, Shapiro, these are easy questions.
You don't
what kind of person would I be if I didn't choose myself?
Well, maybe a big person. Maybe a generous
listen,
person.
Listen, I'm sure Ari Fleischer is a lovely gentleman.
How
I
about
happen
Ari
never
Shapiro
to have met
Fleischer?
Him. Are you suggesting like a hyphenated marriage name?
Yes, I am.
I need to meet him first.
All right.
And have to talk with my husband about
I'll
it.
We'll see what we can do. Portland, Maine, or Oregon?
Oregon.
Why?
Because I grew up there.
Okay.
It's also because it's the best city in America, and I truly do believe that. I really love it with all my heart.
Right. And I'm from Baltimore.
Many good people are from Baltimore. Ira Glass, John Waters. It's an amazing place. And you, Julian yeah. Fleischer.
Cornish, Audie or Hen?
Audie. She and I are such buddies. We've actually talked about starting a podcast called Not Safe for Work with Ari and Audie. And it's going to be all the outtakes from the things that you don't hear on the air.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we've all got a few of those. All things considered or night long?
You know, that's a tougher choice than you might think, but I'm going to go with all things considered.
Oh, come on, man. You're not helping me out here.
It's a family program. What can I say?
James, Henry, or Baldwin?
Baldwin.
Nice.
Yeah,
of course.
Ugh.
Simply the greatest writer our country
incredible.
Ever
incredible. Yeah.
All right, good. Pink, martini, or pink?
I have to say pink martini.
Speaking of pink martini, you have just recorded a record with them.
Yes, this is my fourth album singing with them.
So are you essentially a member of the band?
I'm a frequent guest performer with the band.
Okay.
They're from my hometown, Portland, Oregon, and I was a fan of theirs when I was in high school, and they were this little local band nobody had heard of.
Uh-huh.
And then I became friends with them after college. And just to kind of give people a picture, this is like a mini orchestra. There's strings, there's horns, there's three percussionists. The band leader is the pianist, and then there's the lead singer, who's a woman, and then I make frequent guest appearances with them. I became friends with them after college, and then one day, Thomas, the band leader, said, hey, you know, why don't you sing a song on our next album? And I thought, well, that's never going to happen, but okay. And so then I did, and then he said, well, we need to find a time for you to perform with us, so why don't you come to our show at the Hollywood Bowl? So my first
more struggle,
time,
the struggles of Ari Shapiro, it just gets worse.
So
like a Dickens novel.
My first time performing live with the band was at the Hollywood Bowl, which was terrifying.
Oh, cry me a river. What are we about to hear?
We're going to hear one of the songs from the new album. The album is called Je Dis Oui.
Which means I say yes.
I say yes. And it's a chorus of one of the original songs from this album.
They're like a Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Thing. That's like
there is that. There's also some Cuba. There's some, you know, Middle Eastern, North African influences. There's some, you know, Italian. I mean, it's really many, many, many languages. On this album, I sing a song in Armenian and I sing a song in Arabic. And this is an original song with lyrics in Arabic. The melody comes from something the band recorded on their first album in 1996, which was a song in Spanish, when they decided they wanted to re-record it with me and they wanted to do the lyrics in Arabic instead. So this is called Finis Madi. And actually, the lyrics sound like they are about a lost love, but the friend of the band who wrote it, who lives in Dubai, said he was thinking about the refugee crisis and sort of the longing for homeland.
Oh.
Finis Madi.
Bar don't affair وحش نی مادرم فی سنین صبرت لحب ره و عمری ره ویه فی الوحده دی
Creamy.
Thanks.
It sounds like your bar mitzvah to me.
Except I didn't sing in Arabic in my bar mitzvah.
But what I'm saying is they're very similar. You know, these Semitic
modes. The languages do sound similar.
And so do the melodies.
I had three Arabic coaches.
For this song?
Yeah.
It's very listenable.
Thank you.
It's like it falls pleasingly on the ear.
Thank you.
Which is the thing you always worry about, you know, like oof.
You mean it doesn't sound like a harsh language or a harsh
just the production, you're singing, the song, the mix, it's all very beautiful.
Thank you.
That was Ari Shapiro singing
Finismadi
on the new album from Pink Martini, Say Yes. I Say Yes.
I Say Yes. Je dis oui. I Say Yes.
You do say yes. I mean, you actually do, and I like that.
That's Liza Minnelli cue right there, if I've ever heard one.
So that was beautiful, and I don't want to gloss over that fact.
Thank you.
Because immediately I just asked myself, am I going to want to listen to this again?
Oh.
And I am.
The album goes to a lot of different places. There is a song in Farsi with these layers and layers and layers of percussion that I just adore. So Storm Large sings on this album, as does China Forbes, who was the original lead singer of the band, and there are a few other contributions from Rufus Wainwright sings a version of Blue Moon. It's pretty beautiful.
So you brought a song by a singer who is alive.
Yes, and it's a new song.
A young, vibrant singer, a friend of both of ours.
Yes, and the lyrics are by Neil Gaiman. And the tune is by Neil Gaiman's wife, Amanda Palmer.
Who many of our listeners may know.
Yeah. And this is a song that I think Cole Porter would have written were he alive today.
Now, I have to ask you, why do you say that?
Because Cole Porter wrote so much about obsession and also tapped into the moment, the culture, the recognizable thing that everybody hears a song and says, yep, I've been there. I've felt that way. That's universal. And this is universal, but it is universal in the 21st century.
Because it's called I Google You.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's heartbreaking. I mean, there's one lyric. And I'm pleased your name is practically unique. Only you and a would-be PhD in Chesapeake who writes papers on the structures of the sun. I've read each one.
Those are nice rhymes.
And just that idea, I've read each one.
Mm-hmm.
You're so obsessed with this person that you read papers on the structures of the sun by a total stranger who happens to share the person's name. That's how obsessed you are. That's the kind of insight that I think Cole Porter had so often that I find in this song.
I think the mistake a lot of people make with Porter is they get stylistically locked into this notion of the 20s and the 30s.
Yeah.
And something very debonair and very clever. But really, the guy was suffering, and you can hear it in his lyrics. And I think it has to do a lot, obviously, I'm projecting here, but I feel like there's the quality of being closeted, of being unable to touch the thing that you most want.
Absolutely. And this gets back to the question of, do you have to be tortured to create brilliant music?
So let's listen to our friend Lady Rizzo singing Amanda Palmer and Neil Gaiman's I Google You.
I Google you when it's late at night and I don't know what to do. I find photos that you've forgotten you were in, put up by your friends. I Google you when the day is done and there's nothing left to do. I read your journal that you kept that month in France. I've watched you dance. And I'm pleased your name is practically unique. Just you and a would-be PhD in Chesapeake. peak, who writes papers on the structure of the soul. I've read each one.
That was Lady Rizzo, my friend and yours, Ari Shapiro, in your pick of a modern, contemporary songbook selection of a song called I Google You, with lyrics by the one and only Neil Gaiman and his partner Amanda Palmer. And Ari, I am feeling it. I get why you wanted me to listen to that song today. Thank you very much. The romance is there, and I can really feel it, if you know what I mean.
I feel it in my kish, because either that or I have to pee.
So, I'm Julian Fleischer. You have been listening to The Naked American Songbook with my guest, the lovely Ari Shapiro. Thank you, Ari, so much for joining me here.
Julian, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Mine. All mine.
The Naked American Songbook is a production of the Jonathan Channel, WNYC and WQXR in New York City, just like I pictured it, skyscrapers and everything. Aaron Dalton is our White House correspondent. Ellie Smerling is Nina Totenberg's intern on deck. Mike Shobe is Robert Siegel's hairstylist. And this week's special correspondent is our own Curtis McDonald. Join us on our Facebook page, on Instagram, on Twitter, on any place you park your podcast, where you'll see our graphic design by David Koval. Our theme music is written by me. I'm Julian Fleischer. Thanks for listening. Please keep it naked.